Father God, we do ask that you speak to us through your holy word. Open up our hearts and move us and change us through your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So do please sit down. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5 today, which is on page 1176. It would be handy if you had that passage open as we look through the text. You know, these days I find that I rarely watch live television. Even when I want to watch the news, I sometimes find that I'm switching the TV on and it's already been on for 5 to 10 minutes. But now with this wonderful technology, I just have to press the green button and up pops catch-up TV, iPlayer, and I can watch the programme from the start. In fact, Lisa and I find that we watch so little live TV that we're always going into iPlayer to find a drama or a comedy programme to watch. But one thing that disturbs us is that whenever we go to look at a drama or comedy on iPlayer, it pops up a warning message. This programme contains strong language and scenes of a violent or sexual nature. Now that message seems to come up time and again. You struggle to find a BBC drama that does not display this message these days. We live in a world that is obsessed by sex and is full of strong language. So how do we as Christians react to that? How do we live in this world? Do we just go along with it, saying, well, that's the norm? Do we shut ourselves away completely? Pretend it's not happening? What do we do? Well, of course, we can't get away from living in the world. This is where we reside, even if it is only temporary. This whole area really is what today's Bible reading is about. If you want a simple summary of the whole message, it's this. Live out your identity in the world as children of light, not as children of disobedience. Live out your identity in the world as children of light, not as children of disobedience. So as we come to Ephesians 5, I say it's on page 1176. Take a look at the first verse, which sums it up. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. We're told we're children of the living God if we're Christians. Remember chapter 1 of Ephesians? We have been adopted into his family. And as members of the family of God, we are called to imitate God. Imitate Jesus as God works in us to conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Of course, imitating God is difficult in this world. It is saturated with sexual immorality, impurity and greed. So as Christians, it feels like sometimes we're trying to... It's like we're fish, isn't it? Trying to swim upstream against the flow. It's not easy. But Paul in this chapter encourages us, swim upstream. It is the right way to go. So verse 3 tells us there should not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. If we're called to be God's holy children, well then, this sort of behaviour is inappropriate. If we're to imitate God, we're to watch out for the darkness. And this is my first point this morning. Watch out for the darkness. As Paul goes on to say in verse 4, there should be no obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking. These are out of place. Rather, our speech should be that of thanksgiving to God, not of constant innuendo. I remember as a teenager at school and then university, our speech was always just full of innuendo. Some of the jokes, looking back, were extremely crude. Now, I was not a Christian at the time, but in my halls of residence, the lad in the next room was. He hadn't been a Christian for long. And he struggled. He particularly struggled with us because we knew he was a Christian and we would try and trip him up. We would try to get him to join in with the innuendo. That's the difficulty, isn't it? We, as Christians, still want to fit in with those around us. We want to get on with them. So we want to join in the banter and the gossip. The message is, well, don't. Don't be darkness. Watch out for it. And why should we watch out for it? Well, there's a strong reason given in these verses. The warning is that the darkness will destroy us if we're not careful. Look at verse 5. We're reminded that immoral, impure, greedy people are idolaters. I.e. they don't follow the true God. They're following the gods of this world. And therefore have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In other words, don't go back into the darkness, because you could be destroyed. Verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In our earlier service, we were showing this contrast. You can see here, the darkness and the light. And we're talking about, if we're over here in the darkness, we don't belong to the kingdom of God. We have to move over there. And the temptation is, once we're over there, is just to start being influenced by the darkness. But watch out, it can destroy us. Now, there is an interesting verse here. Verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those of disobedience. I shared something at the PCC. There is a so-called Christian teacher called Nadia Bolt Weber. And Southwark Cathedral are rejoicing in the fact that they've got her as a speaker. Well, if you just look at her on YouTube, she loves to introduce her talks with a four-letter word beginning with S. She loves saying it, and she gets a good reaction. And her message is basically, we need to free ourselves of all the oppression, the sexual oppression that the church is putting on us, and be free to live out our free sexual identity, whatever that is, as long as it's not with animals and it's not with children. Anything goes, she says. She is trying to deceive people with many empty words. And unfortunately, one of our cathedrals in the Church of England think it's good to have her as a speaker. Let no one deceive you. Saying this behaviour doesn't matter. The Bible clearly says it does matter. This behaviour is the darkness, and we're to watch out. It can destroy us. Also in that verse, the end, the NIV isn't the best translation. It says, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. The actual literal words are children of disobedience or sons of disobedience. And it's a beautiful contrast coming out here, because you can see over here, living this way is living as a son or a daughter of disobedience. But we're not called to be that. We're called to be over there as children of God. If we live as children of disobedience, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. So watch out for the darkness. It will destroy you. It's important to say that this is not about being a Christian and tripping up in our walk. We all fall into sin. We all make mistakes. And we're free to go to the Lord in confession and be restored. This is talking about persistent disobedience, about going back and partnering with the darkness. But verse 7 says, do not be partners with the sons of disobedience. Doesn't mean we should never engage in the world. Of course we've got to live in the world, but we don't partnership with the darkness. Now our first point is rather negative, so let's go on and look at it positively, because this is a contrast, and the positive side is wonderful. The second point is, live out your identity as children of light. Because as Christians, we're no longer children of darkness, children of disobedience. We're children of light. We're children of the living God. Verse 8 says, you once were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness and truth. It's a powerful statement, isn't it? You once were darkness. But if you trust in Jesus Christ, no, you're not darkness anymore. You're light. You're a child of God. And you're to imitate your Heavenly Father. Back in chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles open, have a look back at the start of chapter 2. We saw the similar sort of thing. Verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. We used to be like this, and we were spiritually dead. And we were one, and living like that, we'll be forever physically dead. But verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven our sins, and we can be raised up to be alive now spiritually and alive forever physically. That's the gospel. But if we've moved from this side to that side, we're to now live appropriately and leave behind the ways of this world to live the ways of the kingdom. But this language of being raised from the dead is picked up again in verse 14 with this wonderful quote that Paul makes. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We were dead, but then Christ woke us up and shone his light on us. We are now children of the light and alive forever in Christ. And as new creations in Jesus Christ, we should live out our identity as children of light. We should bear fruit now for the kingdom of God. Verse 10 says that. So no longer should we be involved in the fruitless deeds of darkness, which we've already seen is immorality, coarse joking, gossip, all that stuff. No, the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. In Galatians, we've got a longer list of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience, love, joy. Live out your new identity as children of God, children of light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. As I say, that's not have nothing to do with the world. It's not to have anything to do with those dark deeds. Don't even talk about them. Moving on to verse 15. As children of God who have been adopted, we're told to be very careful how we live. Not as unwise, but as wise. If you look at verse 17. You'll see that we mustn't be foolish. We must understand what the Lord's will is. How do we understand what the Lord's will is? Well, the words are in here. We sang that lovely song, The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock, in the earlier service. And it's so simple, but it's so true. If we're wise, we build our lives on the rock. And the rock is the words of Jesus. And he says, if you listen and obey my words, you're secure. However, if you listen and don't obey, or if you don't bother listening, you're like the foolish man building his house on sand. It's exactly the same picture here. Be wise, don't be foolish. Build your lives on the Bible, the words of Jesus. Don't be deceived by this foolish talk that says such behavior is actually okay. God doesn't really mind. So we're to be wise. We're to read the scriptures. It's why I encourage us to have our Bibles open when I preach, or to join a home group. Find out what the word of the Lord says. Come to Christianity Explored. It's an informal, light evening where we just start seeing what Mark's gospel is all about. We need to allow the word of God to indwell us, if we're to be transformed by it. And the final picture is of that of being filled. Again, another contrast. Don't be filled with lots and lots of wine. Obviously, a glass or two. Jesus enjoyed a glass or two of wine as much as the next person. But don't get drunk on it. What happens when you get drunk? You start ending up following this behavior as you lose control. Far better to be filled not with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. Does this from time to time, doesn't it? Be filled with the Spirit, encouraging each other. Obviously, when we're filled with the Spirit, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. But the focus here is actually over what happens in our life together. We sing songs to one another. We encourage one another. 2 weeks ago, we looked at that wonderful picture of the church being in unity and growing together. And we saw how earnest my job is to enable you to serve in the church so that you can encourage one another to grow up in Christ. It's what we're talking about here in verse 19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Make music in your heart to the Lord. So don't be filled with the things of this world like wine. Be filled with the Spirit. So we've got point one, watch out for the darkness. It will destroy you. Point two, live out your identity as children of light, which means we bear the fruit for the kingdom of God rather than fruitless deeds. We're wise as we seek the Lord's will in Scripture, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, not with wine. Therefore, we can encourage each other. But one final point. I forgot my visual aid, it's in the bag there, but it's a torch. What happens when you go into the darkness and switch on the torch? It chases away the darkness. These verses say, it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. That's verse 12. But despite that, we go into the darkness, shining the light of Christ because he shines in us. What happens? The light makes everything visible. The light exposes the darkness. And what happens is people see us shining the light of Christ and they're influenced by it. At coffee break on Mondays, we've been sharing thoughts for the day from this little book called Gladys Aylward, The Little Woman. It's a true story, amazing woman who went to China and was a missionary for years. She went around sharing the gospel. But the last thought for the day we did was quite remarkable because she was back in England. Well, she went over to Northern Ireland and she came across a poor Chinese woman who couldn't speak any English and she'd lost all contact and they just thought she was crazy. So they put her in an asylum. Gladys went in, spoke to her in Chinese, calmed her down, got her out of the asylum, got her in touch with her family, took her and put her up in her own house in London, in her own digs. Did not preach the gospel this time. She lived it out though. And all the time this woman is observing Gladys and her love and the light shining from her. And eventually she says, I want this Jesus you follow. And she opened up her heart to the gospel. We do need to share the gospel, but sometimes just that living that godly life will give us the opportunity and it can have a powerful influence because the light chases away the darkness. And that's the last thing, really, to say. Expose the darkness by shining Christ's light. In our earlier service, we sang another children's song called Shine. And it's so simple, again, the children love singing it. But I was just struck how it sums up this message. Shine from the inside out that the world may see you live in me. The world sees Christ's light shining out of us if we're following him, being wise, listening to scripture, being children of obedience, children of light. And they can be converted. Just as Christ said to us, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. He can say it to people who are still in the darkness through us as we live our lives and share the word of God. Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit as we live out our lives. The other thing nice about that song, Shine, is it talks about the relationship we have as children of God. For you know me, you love me, fill me, and send me to shine. As we conclude, verse 1 tells us to be imitators of God. Verse 3 to 7 Watch out for the darkness, it will destroy you. No, verse 10, we're to live out our identity as children of light, producing the fruit of the Spirit. So verse 15 and 17, be careful how you live. Be wise. Seek the Lord's will in Scripture. And then verses 18 and 19, be filled with the Spirit, encouraging each other. Verses 15 and 16, we're to make the most of every opportunity. The days are evil, but as we shine Christ's light into the darkness, it can be transformed. Because we want others to wake up from the dead as Christ's light shines on them. Let me say a prayer. So Lord, we do ask that you fill us with your Spirit. Help us to live as children of light. Help us to be careful of the darkness, but to make the most of every opportunity by shining your light into the darkness so it too can be transformed. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Amen.